It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Into the show, back to our normal schedule. Sean is, I work 10 to 12 or 7 to 12 no matter what, no matter where I am. But Sean, who had a 7 to 3 yesterday, grinding, but he's back in his normal time slot. Did Joe get you your lunch, or is that to come?
No, I got lunch yesterday.
What did he pony up for?
The tacos downstairs from the conservatory.
Okay. So credit to our assistant program director. He's not assisting anyone, by the way.
He assisted me.
With lunch.
Yeah, yes. With lunch.
But what I meant was there is no actual program director. He just does that job. But his title currently is assistant program director. We're missing bodies. We had a lot of moving parts. So Sean had to work 7 to 3 and he got lunch out of it. And maybe some extras that I won't reveal because that ain't my business. But the lunch part of it is because I love a good taco as well. So that happened, but we're back. And what happened last night was the Rockets, through not playing, clinched the number 2 seed. And I know that's been a bit of a talking point. People care about that a lot because it speaks to an accomplishment for the Rockets, not just winning 50 games, not just making the playoffs, but bouncing back from a bad run, the 3 years before that, from near the play-in to now the 2 seed in the Western Conference. That's cool. It's an accomplishment, but I've always been more interested in who they're going to play, which still needs to be decided. The Rockets have a bit of a say in that. That happens, and the stretch run for that particular 7 seed begins in earnest tonight. The Clippers face off against the Rockets in L.A. Will the Rockets play their guys? I think guys will get minutes, although Fred VanVleet's banged up, so he's unlikely to play, and there's one other guy, forgetting the name. So you won't get the full roster, and some of that has to do with just the grind of the year and guys being banged up. Now, will they play these guys minimal minutes? Will it be a 25-minute limit for some of these guys? I can see that happening, at least tonight. I don't think they're shutting it down completely with 3 games left. 2 games left, I can see it. And will the Rockets be in on the shenanigans of trying to manipulate who they play? I know there's a lot of confidence from people watching them. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Just roll the ball out there. I don't care who we play. And maybe the Rockets aren't in a spot where they are going to try to manage their opponent because they can control what they can control, but the 7 and the 8 still have to play. So they have no impact on who wins that game. But who's it going to be? What is it, like 5-6 teams who are capable of landing in that spot with 3 games to go? And with the congestion of the West, which got more congested last night because the Lakers lost to the Thunder in a game where they were big runs. Luka got ejected for yelling at a fan. And Mark Daigneault, the coach of the Thunder, was like, I appreciate the referee holding the standard of how we should be in games because I got ejected out of a game for saying something very minimal. So I'm glad that the official is holding that standard. Oh, you're glad that Luka got thrown out of a game? I bet. I'm sure it was all about the standard of the game and not the fact that they threw out one of the best players in the game in the middle of a competitive game. Either way, Luka was talking to a fan. I don't know that if the ref knew that or didn't care about that, but he got thrown out. The Lakers lose. They have Dallas tonight in Luka's return game in a game that they're gonna try to win because they don't want to fall into the 7th seed. Who do I want for the Rockets as we come down the home stretch? We've got Could be the Warriors. Could be the Clippers, the Nuggets, who just fired their coach. Do I want a team who just fired the coach as the seventh seed? Or do I want a team who just fired the coach but only a couple weeks ago as a seventh seed, like the Memphis Grizzlies? It's crazy that there are two teams who will be in these playoffs who just fired their coach, and I can pick between them to see who I want the Rockets to play.
Two teams that, like, they could very easily be in the play-in. They could be solidly in the playoffs. Give me the team that just fired the coach that does not have Nikola Jokic on it. Although, seems like bad vibes. Even despite the coach getting fired, like, seems like there's just bad vibes overall with the whole Westbrook thing going on.
Did that break
which
them?
Is really strange.
Did it break them, Westbrook missing that layup and then fouling?
And then not talking to the media for, like, 2 or 3 days. And then when he does talk to me, they ask about, like, so how's... You know, is the group still cohesive? And he goes, got to ask them. It's like, whoa, that's bad.
Now, Michael Malone, if you missed it, the now former Nuggets head coach.
Gone, but not forgotten.
We'll see. We'll see how long it takes for him to be forgotten. He'll be in the record books for a while. He's the Nuggets all-time winningest coach. He does have a title under his belt as well for them just a couple seasons ago, and now he's gone. There appears to be a tune-out factor between him and his team. Christian Brown talked about it just maybe a week or so ago about how the coaches are telling us what we should do, where we should be on defense. We're just not doing it. So that might speak to a team not listening to a guy who's been around there a long time. We also have the Calvin Booth, who was their GM. He won't be getting a new deal, so he's done with the Nuggets as well. That was announced yesterday. There's a back and forth about who should play. Calvin Booth drafted some young players. He wants them to play. Michael Malone, as you might imagine, the veteran coach, would rather play some older players. Of course, Russell Westbrook is among them, and we saw how that played out just a couple games ago. But Russ has been a good pickup for the Nuggets because they just need a guy who can eat up minutes, and it just is a problem when Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are out for games that he has to play all those minutes.
He's playing too many minutes now. Like, actually, our team shouldn't be this dependent on having Russell Westbrook on it.
Yes, and that came to a head in that Minnesota game, in a game which they are up by one with the ball in their hands. And Russ didn't have to go for the layup. He went for it, missed it, of course. What happened with him fouling NAW, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, him knocking down the free throws and the Nuggets losing. And so they decide with three games to go that – their head coach has to go. That could be a team the Rockets play.
Yeah.
I will agree.
Ime Udoka has to watch his back, too. Be careful.
Maybe not this year.
Oh, okay.
60 games into next season, he better be on the lookout.
Yeah, 2 years after he wins the title.
Well, okay. Then maybe in 2031 or something.
Yeah.
Ime has to worry about his job status. That's a long way away. And if there's a title in between, I bid you adieu, Ime. I appreciate the title. If they have to fire you 2 years, 2 seasons after that, that just means they won a title. But I agree with you, Sean. I'd rather play the team without Jokic. You just fire the coach, because if I'm playing the team with Ja, he may pull off another ammo celebration and get him thrown out of a game or suspended for a game. Because if you missed it yesterday, Ja's like, okay, you don't want me to do the simulation of firing a weapon. How about I throw a grenade? I pull the plug on the grenade and throw it into the crowd. How about that? Which, you know, he threw it into the home crowd, which is, you know, if I'm one of the people sitting there, hey, what are you doing? I don't want you. What are you simulating?
Although if you do it at the home crowd, they can play along. You can get some audience. Yeah, and they'll.
And they go, oh, yeah, we've been blown up. While the road crowd would.
Maybe next time he does it.
See that as inflammatory. Yeah, he didn't. No one was ready for it. Next time he knocks down a three, everyone will be ready for it. Yeah. So we will see. That happened last night as the Grizzlies, the other team playing without the coach they started the year with, was in action. I'm almost at the point where I just want the narrative of, will Kawhi be healthy throughout a playoff series, and is James going to fall apart against his former team? That's kind of where I'm leaning. As much as it was fun to watch them shut down Steph Curry, I don't need to see that. It's funny, I did a video about that. I didn't do a video specifically for social media, but we do this thing every day where someone's time is for social media a clip to be on social media, whether it be on Instagram or YouTube. We put these clips out, and the clip I did on Friday was player I'd least like to have the Rockets face. And, of course, I picked Steph Curry, and then two nights later, he has his worst game of the season. So, bad timing for me. So be it. Should have taken into account Amen Thompson, I guess, who is racing up the the leaderboard, at least for people talking about the game when it comes to all NBA defensive team or DPOY. It's not really affecting the betting odds. He's not even on a lot of the list. But as far as the likes of Zach Lowe and others, Amen is someone who should be really considered for that, and rightfully so. He's been great this year and has helped the Rockets win their 50-plus games as they secure the 2 seed. Okay, we will continue to talk more about the Rockets. We got the Astros to get to as well, as they won a game late last night thanks to their pitching and their backup catcher. Throwing some Cam Smith as well. We'll get to that when we continue the show. If you want to get in, you can, 713-780-3776. I don't normally call out listeners. Hey, Lazy J, where are you? You can call in today. Shout out to your Real Madrid squad for what happened to them. And by that, I mean the beatdown they took at the hands of Arsenal. Real pulls rabbits out of the hat all the time. But 3-0 going back to the Bernabeu. Good luck with Arsenal. So I know you're out there. I know you watched. And watch Vinny do nothing while Declan Rice was putting on a show. Champions League in mid-afternoon, if you got nothing else to do on Paramount, it's a good watch, particularly if you're hating on Real Madrid yesterday. So a lot to get to, as you can imagine. We're just getting started here on the show. We will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So in the Western Conference, seeds 3 through 11, only the Kings are locked into any type of spot. The Kings are too far behind to reach an actual safe spot like the 6th seed, and they're too far ahead of the Suns to be out of the play-in. Everyone else, Mavericks, Suns, Wolves, Grizzlies, Warriors, Clippers, Nuggets, Lakers, all can either be in the play-in or be safe in the playoffs, or in the Mavericks' case, in the Suns' case, out of the playoffs or in the play-in. So very volatile standings. The Grizzlies and Wolves play each other. The Wolves blew a giant lead last night against the Bucks. I think they're up 95-71 in the fourth quarter, gave up a 23-0 run, and lost the game. So that's why they're currently in eighth with a real shot of maybe going on the road in a play-in game, and then if they lose, hosting a game. So a lot of things to be decided. The Rockets will play their part because guys may or may not play. And a couple guys who are banged up, Alperen Sengun and Jabari Smith, are both questionable for tonight, and Fred VanVleet is doubtful. We're not going to see Fred tonight. The doubtful tag is just, okay, he's out. The only people who do the doubtful thing and then actually play sometimes are Joel Embiid when he's, like, going for the 65-game mark when he's trying to win a postseason award. Most of the time you see doubtful, the guy's not playing. But will Jabari and Alperen play? If they're banged up, don't play them. I think it's pretty simple. Get yourself some Landale and sit Steven Adams too. Who else can they play from the big rotation?
Jeff Green.
Sure. Small ball five, Jeff Green. Let's see a lot of that tonight.
They can probably call someone up from the G League.
That too.
Dante.
He's probably up with the big team now, right? I did see a clip. It was a post by Steven Adams. He was hanging out with Dante, and he tagged Dante, and then he tagged like immigration, which, you know, it's a bit of a touchy subject, but if you're doing it to someone, one of your teammates, I guess, is fine. Steven Adams ain't even from here. It's fine, right? You're from New Zealand. It's fine to do that.
That's just how they joke there.
Yeah, it's got a different sense of humor than that. Because a Rockets reporter laughed at it, and then afterwards she was like, "Wait a minute!" And then she quote tweeted the picture and pointed out how funny it was. And then under it, yes, it's funny, but we have real serious concerns going on. So she had to clean it up a little bit. That's the world we live in where, sure, Stephen Adams is making a joke, but and if you laugh at it, you got to let everyone know, look, I understand what's going on, but it is funny if Stephen Adams does it.
But then not funny if he actually gets sent back to Molly.
Yeah, it becomes less funny
okay.
if he does get sent back. Hopefully that's not the case. Just
yeah, I mean, because the Rockets need a big man to play the next two games.
Oh, that's the only reason it wouldn't be good because they need bodies. Thanks.
For game 81 and 82 of the season.
Yeah, if they need to play Cam Whitmore at center, I think that'd be fine. Cam Whitmore's probably going to get some time the next couple nights.
This is Cam Whitmore raise your trade value season.
If I'm the Rockets, I'm like, Cam, we're not even going to ask you to mix in a pass. Don't worry about it, man.
Just get buckets.
Just go out there, score, and show the talent that some people thought you should be a top 10 pick for.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down to it, we'll trade you along with a couple picks for whoever we need. Just go out there and ball. That should be the Cam Whitmore experience over the next couple games. Go out there and ball.
How would you like to get traded for Giannis Antetokounmpo? Go out there, kill him.
Cam, how do you feel about Milwaukee? What do you mean? You know, just generally, how do you feel about the city of Milwaukee?
Like, I don't know. I was at Villanova, we played Marquette. Didn't love it.
Yeah, I mean, the fans are kind of rude. But what if they were on your side? Actually, they would not be on the side if he's the one of the guys who got traded for Giannis. They would definitely not be on the side.
No, it'd be a Dallas situation.
Yeah, I don't know who the GM there is. I think the owner.
We would learn his name.
Is it John Horse? Is that the nickname? I mean, the GM's name.
I think that is.
Yeah,
or at least that.
That sounds right.
Maybe he got fired after winning the title. We don't know.
Still the general manager.
Okay.
He's not trading Giannis if he knows what's good for him. You've learned your lesson. Don't be Nico. Of all the things we've learned about the NBA season is don't be a Nico.
No. Or if you are, like, character assassinate the star on the front end.
Not on the back end.
Yeah.
The stories about Giannis should leak as soon as they get eliminated from the playoffs. In fact, in the middle of the series.
Yeah, when they lose the third game of their series.
Yes.
It should be like
the stories about Giannis being a divisive figure.
Yeah, wait, what's this from Tim McMahon?
Yeah, how he wanted Chris Middleton out because they love Chris Middleton. How he and Brooke Lopez are at odds.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do to make it seem like Giannis is a giant problem before you get rid of him. On the back end, it's too late. You got to salt the field. Let everyone know this guy's a problem.
You got to whip people up.
Yeah.
First. Oh.
And he's complained about the state of Wisconsin and Milwaukee.
Exactly.
All the things.
Oh, or what you really could do, and you have to trade him after you do this, be like, his wife wants to live in a bigger city, actually. Mm. That's how you get Midwesterners mad at you.
It's true. Oh, the hanger-on? No, his wife. Oh, the hanger-on? The hanger-on doesn't like our city? Beat it. Inferiority complex really pops up when someone says they don't want to be there. Then get out. We don't need you here. So, John Horse, we set the plan for you. But really, just don't
trade him. Trade him for Cam Whitmore. Do that, and then Cam Whitmore and
you think people bitched about the return for Luka, and they got Anthony Davis back. If it's a bunch of picks and Cam Whitmore and Dylan Brooks to make salaries work, good luck.
No, Van Vliet.
I'm trying to help him out any way I can. Not for Van Vliet. Don't do that. Don't do it. Don't do it for the guy who's got a $40 million option that you'd have to take in to make
John
all
Horse,
the deals.
Imagine
work.
That Van Vliet Lillard defensive backcourt.
Cool. Shout out to Damian Lillard. Hopefully he gets healthy. Doesn't look like he will, at least for the playoffs. No indication that he'll be back with the blood clot. But it's more about health than anything else for him. But if they were healthy together. What does Shaq say? Barbecue chicken?
Yeah.
That would be the barbecue chicken backcourt. We can all fantasize about Giannis being here. We had a caller who saw something on Instagram where Jokic was on the trade block.
No way.
I don't know if it was a reputable source. He just said he saw it.
Would you trade Shingun for Jokic?
Would I trade baby proto-Jokic for the actual Jokic?
We got Jokic at home.
But I got
just keep him in the sunlight and water him. He'll turn into Jokic.
He's younger. I don't have to pay him as much.
He's not a coach killer.
Well, Steven Silas did get fired. Nah. They both have
that
one.
Was Kevin Porter Jr.
They both have one coach fired on their resume. If we're going to call Jokic a coach killer, the least likely
guy
ever.
That's how I draw you into my trap.
I was like, wait a minute.
You're saying they're equally coach killer.
Wait a minute. What's he talking about? No. I don't think either one's a coach killer. But to answer your ridiculous question that has no basis in fact, yes, I trade Şengün for Jokic if it was ever on the table. If the Nuggets wanted a clean reset.
Kick in a first-round pick.
Yeah, I got it from the Nuggets?
Yeah.
Okay. Just to be clear.
Just to take on the salary.
I just wanted to be clear about what you were talking about. Like the Brock Osweiler trade?
Yeah.
Dumping Brock Osweiler?
The Nuggets don't want this malcontent.
The brothers are a problem?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. He hangs around a tough crowd. His brothers.
He nearly paralyzed one of the Morris twins.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the other twins on TV telling people how not good Jokic is, because he nearly killed his brother. All reasons to devalue the great player and make him come here.
And also, at the same time, I would not want the Rockets to play him in the first round.
Yes. Coach killer or not, keep that guy out of Toyota Center too. But it's possible. We'll see how they finish down the stretch.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's like looking at these teams, there's not really a team that you're just like, that guy.
Unless you are of the opinion that it don't matter who comes in here, we're going to beat them, then you're like, bring anyone in here.
Well, I think that's what makes it so tough, is that I think the Rockets have a chance against all.
I agree.
Roughly a chance. Like, all of these series would be in the, 60-40 range to one side or the other. So, like the Lakers, I'm not terrified of them.
Neither am I.
But then it's also you're just signing up to play Luka and LeBron.
Yeah, I did want to get into this. I've tried to get into it a couple times. I've just forgotten. It's no one's fault but my own. Like, the importance we're placing on this regular season and the difference between how teams who have been in these playoff series before treat the regular season. Like winning in Golden State, big deal. You don't ever do it. You did it. You shut Steph Curry down. And then after the game, while Rocket fans and you would think the Rockets organization, and it's temper certainly because they know it's just a regular season game, are pretty excited about what they did. The Warriors are just laughing. There's a question about Ime Udoka and Steph Curry's back and forth as they were walking off the court after the first half, and Ime was talking about, once we have guys complaining about physicality, that means we're doing the right things. Steph Curry was asked about it. He made a joke about Ime not showing up to his wife's restaurant. That's the vibes. Like, they barely care about this stuff. While here, we're like, yeah, got another one. We beat OKC. OKC, are they, and they're a young team too. They don't have a lot of accomplishments. Do you think they cared so much about the Rockets winning? Sure, they would rather win, but they're the one seed. There's not a lot that they can gain other than possibly winning 70 games. Now that's out the door. There's not a lot for them this year. So when the Rockets are beating a team in the regular season, and they've had two really good wins recently, what does it actually mean other than they can play with these guys on a night-to-night basis in the regular season? Does it translate to the playoffs? The betting odds say none of that stuff matters to them. They're seventh favorites to win the West in one place, eighth favorites in another. So as good as they've been, nothing is really reflecting in how at least the people who allegedly know things are kind of evaluating them. Now, media, beyond locally, are talking about the Rockets very positively. In fact, let's hear from Kevin O'Connor, formerly of The Ringer, now with Yahoo. I think I saved it over there, Sean. He is discussing the two bigs, a lineup that has gotten a lot more recognitions lately. He talks about how effective they've been, and he's not the only one talking about the Rockets and how great they are, but this is just one of the national voices talking about what the Rockets are doing and how good they've been.
This lineup with Adams and Şengün, I looked this up earlier today because I was curious, how are they performing? Over the full season, they've played only 156 minutes together. But of the lineups with over 150 minutes together, hundreds of two-man lineups, Adam Şengün is number one in the NBA in net rating. They outscore teams by 31.7 points per 100 possessions. That is number one in the NBA of every two-man lineup.
They've been great. And it's a lineup I didn't think we see a lot of this year, just because double bigs aren't that much of a thing in the NBA anymore. You very, very rarely can make it work because spacing has been so important over the last decade or so in NBA basketball, and you have two non-shooters out there, but the Rockets have made it work. Hell, they're a team full of guys you can't really depend on beyond Jabari and Dylan Brooks to knock down threes. Jalen will have his moments. He's streaky. We know Fred will be great one game and then absolutely atrocious the next, but they've made it work to great effect. So the voices around the NBA world like this Rockets team based off their regular season stuff, but you went on to ask these guys about what this Rockets team can do. You will hear them say they could do this, but if you put them to the fire, I haven't heard anyone go, yeah, I think the Rockets are Western Conference finalists. It's a lot of, yeah, I like them. I think they can, but not a lot of they will. And that is partly because they've never seen it before. And no matter who they see in the first round, it's going to be a team other than the Grizzlies because they haven't accomplished much due to injuries and the jaw stuff. Other than them, you got a Western Conference finalist in Anthony Edwards, the Nuggets, as we talked about, of course, the Warriors. And the Lakers have LeBron and Luka. So that's the obstacles in their way. Either, no matter what it is, it's going to be a major one. It's just unfortunate that you win 50-plus games and you may see a team who is near 50 in the first round.
That one, 49.
Yeah, and may have to win 50 to get to 7 seed because they have to win a play-in game.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be tough. We might have to talk about it like all week. Just like talking through. Because now, after last night, it's like, actually, maybe you do want to play Minnesota, where Minnesota would have been one of the last picks if you're going, you know, the playground method of lining up all the teams and go, give me him.
Yeah. Do you want to see Anthony Edwards for 7 games? Not really. But
no.
That's, I can say.
But they also just blew a 25-point lead last night.
In Milwaukee. To Milwaukee. And do I want to see healthy Kawhi? Well, that's first. Do we get a healthy Kawhi? Yeah. Do I want to see a Clippers team who's played really well with healthy Kawhi? No, but that speaks to the strength of the Western Conference. It'll be this back and forth up until we find out who the matchup is, and we got a couple days.
And then I'll go, that's who I wanted the entire time.
Yeah, I'm not scared of this team at all. Bring them on.
We'll this start, guy's food.
We're picking at all their flaws while ignoring the Rockets, who don't have many, but they have some, and we'll see how they work around those no matter who the matchup is. Okay, we'll go to break. With that, we are going to get to the Astros, but we'll eventually get to them here when we come back. But first, I want to talk to you about Monument Chevrolet. Monument Chevrolet is a place you go to whenever you're thinking about getting a new car, particularly if it's a Chevy, because that's what they do. They have a pre-owned inventory as well that goes beyond Chevys. But if you're into Chevys and you're looking for a Silverado 1500, that's the place you go to because they're offering their spring savings. What does that mean? You get the savings that the employees get. Employee pricing on the Chevy Silverado 1500 because they want to treat you like the family they are. Their family with the they have a family there, and once you step on the lot, you become family too. All you got to do is check out the inventory at monumentchevrolet.com and see all the great cars they have to offer. From the pre-owned inventory to the new cars, and maybe you're looking for something for your business, they have a large fleet that you can take advantage of as well. So see the cars on the website, and then go head on out there to Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. And maybe you'll run into Sammy, who is their salesperson of the week. He's very personable. He knows all about the car business, so he'll walk you through the process and make sure you get the best car possible for you. So the website, monumentchevrolet.com, and you go out there to Pasadena and take advantage of what they have to offer. And remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Astros win in extra innings yesterday. Late last night, they beat the Mariners 2-1. So the bats are the bats. They're still not hitting. I mean, 8 hits, but they're not putting together big innings at all. But you're happy to get the win. Cam Smith had an RBI triple. And also Victor Caratini in extra innings with the difference. So it was important for Fromber to get back on track. He was poor in his last outing. And it was the typical Fromber thing where he has a blow up and then he gets it together. But the blow up was enough to decide the game. This time, 6 innings, no earned runs. And an efficient 94 pitches, So that's the Fromber we are used to, and that's what we want. AK is not a one walk, so he was really good. And you got to credit that bullpen outside of Taylor Scott. He has struggled. He has not been the revelation that he was last year. So that's a couple guys who were better than you could even have imagined last year in Ronel Blanco and Scott, who have gotten off to rough starts. And it's kind of predictable. These aren't guys who have a long track record of success. Scott was a minor league invite, a spring training invite. And he turned into a dependable, whether you want to call him a 6th-7th inning guy, but that's what he was. And that's what they hoped he would be last year, and he fulfilled that role. He has tried to be a guy in high-leverage situations this year that would come through, and that has not been the case. But you give credit to King and Hader, who was awesome, and Gusto and Okurt, who closed the deal. So the Taylor Scott thing is concerning. The Ronel Blanco thing is concerning. There's a lot of concerns, and you're 5-6. So if we need to overreact, I guess we overreact to those things where guys you're depending on who maybe you might have wrongfully expected to duplicate what they did last year aren't doing that right now. But the guys you know are good and consistently good on that pitching staff showed up last night. Valdez and Hader, big. And then maybe Gusto's the new Scott. Maybe just replace one with the other.
No, that's too far. Do it. You have to do it for longer to reach Taylor Scott levels, all right?
Okay.
Come on, Ryan Gusto. Great performance last night, but I'm not throwing around you're this year's Taylor Scott so willy-nilly.
Yes, he has to pitch beyond what he's ever done.
Yeah, I was going to say do it for like 20 innings, we can talk.
As you like to say, do it in the playoffs.
Well,
we have
but
to get
Taylor
there first.
Scott didn't really do it. In the playoffs.
Yeah, he didn't really have a chance. But that's generally your tag. Do it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Gusto, do it over 70 appearances.
Yeah, Gusto. Get back to me in July.
And are we sure it's Gusto or Gusto?
I think it's Gusto, yeah, but Gusto. I like saying Gusto.
Gusto, I think, is what it is. Gusto is more fun, but let's call him by his name. Ryan Gusto, great job last night.
I can't promise that I'll call him Gusto.
Neither can I, but I'm going to try. Gusto will be the Hardenstein thing for me. Depending on how I feel, depending on how my brain is firing, that's what I'll call him. I'll try to call him Gusto because I believe that's what his name is. But he was good. He's been good this year. And hopefully.
Yeah, I like him.
Hopefully he'll be our Taylor Scott because the current Taylor Scott ain't what I'm looking for right now. The Taylor Scott is the Rafael Montero, who was good for 1 year and then was not good. And by the way, if you missed it, Montero out. So their last remnants of Jeff Bagwell's major decisions out the door. They traded him to the Braves. So now, while we'll always reference that dark time when Jeff Bagwell was the official decision maker or unofficial decision maker for the Astros, the biggest decisions he made are out the door. I hope Jeff Bagwell has like a little list of all the things we aren't talking about that he did that were great. But I don't think it exists because I'm not sure he did anything that we can compliment him for. Did he have like any minor moves? Like he said, hey, this guy should be brought up. This guy's pretty good. Does he have any of that? Or is it always going to be us focusing on Abreu and Montero?
Because it was basically from 2 days after the World Series until like January. So like all he did was F things up. all he did was the biggest moves that they made. Even then, like even if he wants to take credit for, I'm trying to think of like 2023, what was the good stuff of like, he was like, no, we don't need another catcher. Yiner Diaz will do. But like, even
what if
then,
he was pushing for Yiner Diaz to play more?
Actually, no, that was still a Maldi year, right? Yeah, Maldi played in 23. So
Maldi played in. And Dusty didn't want to play Yiner.
Yeah, Yiner DH'd most of that year.
But what if he was pushing for Yiner and we just don't know about it? Well, 2025 would say you shouldn't have been pushing so hard.
Exactly.
So far. 2024, exactly. Yes, you're right. So, 2025, not good. Not good so far.
Jeff Bagwell being like, trying to take credit for Yiner. Or just like slamming his fist down because he's like, I can't even take credit for Yiner DH.
Because
these animals so upset.
It's been a rough run, but it's over. Thankfully, they were able to trade him We always talk about untradeable contracts, and that's usually an NBA thing. I felt like Montero was untradeable, but nope.
The Astros are paying for...
Yeah, that's the thing.
80% of his contract.
And the Braves are like, well, how much are you going to pay? Sure, yeah, whatever.
I think they're saving $3 million or $3.5 million or whatever it is.
The fact that anyone would take on any of his salary.
Yeah, I know. The fact you're signing him for basically one year, $3.5 million, because that's they gave up a player to be named later. Well, I don't really ever know what that means, but they'll get a player.
Do the Braves later. Get their pick of like a certain four guys they can name and give to the Astros, or the Astros get a choice of a certain number of selections? How does that work?
And like, can they just go like this guy with drop foot? You get him.
This guy with gout.
Yeah.
This guy with gout.
This guy who stinks.
That's
we
who we're sending
sucks.
Your way. Like, there's no chance of this guy coming back to haunt us. You can take him. And you can DFA him, and he's no longer in baseball. Trade's over. Is that how this is going to work?
I don't know.
It is for Montero. So how could it be a good prospect? Like, the Braves didn't start off great, but they've been a good franchise. They're not going to – well, the Dodgers did the Yordan thing, so I guess everyone can slip up. But I don't imagine trading Montero is going to lead to anything positive other than he's no longer a guy Espada can go to. Sorry. They took that out of your hands.
So I looked up best players to be named later in MLB history.
Okay.
One, someone that Jeff Bagwell doesn't get to take credit for this, but he is someone who Jeff Bagwell gave money. Michael Brantley was a player to be named later.
Okay.
Coco Crisp.
Got some Trey Turner on here.
Yeah. Moises Alou.
So there's a chance.
David Ortiz. What is the order? Oh, I guess this is alphabetical. No, it's not alphabetical. I don't know what this order is.
Is it just a list? It might just be
David
a
list. David Ortiz is the second to last name after Scott Posednik.
Either way, Jason Smith, the former pitcher. So there is a chance that the Braves give the Astros a good player. Not a great chance, but you never know. Shoeless Joe Jackson, cheater. He was a player to be named later, too.
Yeah.
They were doing that back in 1909, or 1910. That was when he was traded. It's a long-standing thing for baseball to send a guy one way and then, hey, don't worry about it. We'll get to it. You'll get a player at some point. So we'll see what the Astros get for Rafael Montero.
Hopefully the next David Ortiz, which they already have. His name's Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, they don't need another David Ortiz. How about a next Willier Abreu? How about that? How about we do that?
Well, if Dana Brown gets a pick, Dana Brown knows the Atlanta system.
It's true. So did
he knows where they're hidden, where all these superstars are hidden.
So did the Braves make a mistake that they didn't account for with Dana Brown being someone very knowledgeable about what they have and what they don't have?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Is it going to be a Ocean's 11 style heist where he knows how to? Do all the Jet Li stuff that Jet Li did in that movie.
Well, the last time you attributed a heist to Dana Brown was not very long ago, and that's not going in our direction.
I said
currently.
Fleecing.
Oh, okay, you're correct. A fleece and a heist are different, so you're right. A heist is a theft. A fleece is someone is aware of what's going on. You just got over them. What Daryl Morey used to do? He used to fleece teams.
Yes.
Like, they were consenting in the trades. He would just win them.
He fleeced the OKC Thunder that one time, but then not the second time. But he did that one time.
He did that one time.
The correct. First one.
Well, correct. One of the giant, one of the best fleecings of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And he hung on to the biggest piece of that fleece for years and years.
I would too.
It went a little far.
My entire professional reputation is built on this one guy.
Yeah, but once he fat suited his way into Brooklyn, maybe don't bring him to Philly.
That's fair. You know what? That's fair.
No one to let go. He didn't do it, and now he got called a liar by that guy. In a foreign country, a country who doesn't like him to begin with. So that was full circle for him.
In a room full of kids.
That was the time that James Harden chose to speak on Daryl Morey. Look, China and the NBA, hand in hand, thanks to Yao Ming. But how many kids knew what the hell he was talking about when he did it? How many?
How many knew the name of Daryl Morey?
Yes.
Probably not a lot.
Maybe some giant Rockets fan.
Even then, they would have to be like 25.
Yeah, that's true.
Those 10-year-olds are not knowing who the GM, the former GM of the Rockets is.
Maybe some of the people with cameras, like the actual film crews knew. Maybe. That's a maybe. Okay, we'll go to break with that. You want to get in, you can. 713-780-3776. Me and Sean, till noon, we will be back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.